Hey now, welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Summerfeld and Jack McFarland. Jack, before we go into Luka's jersey retirement, Marble's jersey retirement, Iowa basketball, and more, Barstool was just here. Barstool Benchmobs had a live show. I just want to say, I think the biggest honorary Hawkeye is Rico Bosco. Like,
oh, 100%.
Tweeting Joe Toussaint. He's yelling at the refs for us. I love the Iowa support right now from Barstool. I'm loving it.
How loud was he at the game? Because I heard that you could legit hear Rico pretty clearly.
So I heard him one time when it was like a dead ball. But other than that, it was, dude, this game at Carver was, I've stormed the court against Michigan when they were top five in the country. I've been there for every high profile game since we've been in college here, except for the COVID year. This was the best environment I've ever been in at Carver. Like, it was completely packed before the game in the student section. Everything was just absolutely rocking. It was a magical night. It was just like, if you were there, like, dude, we were Ubering from Summit, where the Barstool Benchmobs pod was, 30 minutes before game time. Okay. Mm-hmm. We were a 5-minute walk away from Carver, and it was 20-minute traffic.
Oh yeah, I've done that when I went to the Purdue game, I think it was, and we just told our Uber driver, we were just like, yeah, we're getting out.
That's what we did,
and we just can't it. We can't do it.
If we would have walked in, it was like 5:45. Tip was at 6. I got to our seats when Marble's jersey was getting retired, like right before everything. It was insane. I've never experienced that ever going to Carver.
But it really felt like that game, watching it in its entirety, they punked Michigan State from start to finish. And I'm not going to sit here and say Michigan State's a great team, because I don't think they are. But you can't sit there and say beating Tom Izzo by like nearly 30 is awesome.
And they were a ranked team for most of the year.
Near the end of the season too, you know, it's like those good coaches know how to build the team, and they know who they got by end of February, beginning of March, January, February. Izzo, suck it. Like, that was, it's stupid. I hate that. I loved how Michigan State fans were crumbling and calling for Tom Izzo's head, that this falls on him.
Oh yeah, at the end they're going, Izzo, Izzo. And Izzo just sat down and took it like a man, which I respected.
There was nothing Michigan State could have done, man. Nothing. So
the two biggest things I want to bring into perspective before we talk about the actual on-court play was, before this game, Fran McCaffrey's talking about how he wanted there to be, or he wouldn't be against there being no, like, the end of the handshake, post-game handshake. Izzo was like, I'll shake air if I have to. The handshake stays. So I was really curious, would Izzo be shaking air at the end of the game? But we blew him out, so we didn't have to come to that. But I was really hoping Izzo had to shake air at some point.
Wait. What Fran was talking about, a scenario where we get rid of the handshake line?
Yeah. You didn't see that?
So let me ask you, would you ever, like, your opinion, do you think that would be, like, feasible or something that you'd be cool with seeing?
I saw what Fran was saying about it, because, like, everybody's heated at the end of the game, whatever. But it's like one of those things where it's just tradition, like, suck it up, shake their hand, move on. I think it's just a sportsman. I think, because I don't think it really even matters for college hoops. I think it more matters for high school and youth hoops, where if they're seeing, oh, these guys don't shake hands, I don't have to respect my opponent, then that's more of a developmental thing compared to when you're doing it in the NBA, when you're doing it in college basketball. It's, you know, it's just a thing that, you know, really is a good teaching moment for kids. So that's why I would say, for the most part, to keep.
No, I 100% agree. I mean, it's an easy comparison, but you look at the NHL, you go to the playoffs, you have them shake each other's hands in the middle of the ice at the end of the series. Like, those guys hated each other for the last week, but they have to shake each other's hands. Right. They have to shake each other's hands at the end. I think I know what you're saying. I get what Fran was getting at too.
Yeah.
I think it's just, it's so stupid that Juwan Howard,
Greg Gard, Wisconsin.
Yeah. That whole situation has spiraled into even debating getting rid of, like, the handshake line, or could we go without it? That's just so stupid.
I know, it's so dumb.
Even as stupid the Juwan Howard situation was, it is college sports. Like, that is why we love it, you know? That is kind of the reason why we love
it. A funny Juwan thing from when they came a week prior to Iowa City. Juwan wore a mask during the game, which is fine. You can wear your mask. But he kept pulling it down. He was chin strapped basically the entire game. So the whole student section is yelling, Juwan, lift your mask up. And there were times where he'd hear it so much, he would just do it. He would just suck it up and do it. And he was walking on the court. And then the best thing about Juwan, which I have to highlight, is the ball rolls towards him during the game. It's during gameplay. He picks the ball up. He picks the ball up. And Connor's just looking at him. Connor McCaffrey, like, what are you doing? Like, what is going on? Like, I could have grabbed that and made a layup. Like, why did you just pick up the ball? And Juwan's like, oops. I don't know. I think there's just a little screw loose with Juwan right now. But that's all I'm going to say about Juwan. But the second thing I was going to bring up, too, about this Iowa game, this past Iowa game, is we talked about it last year. Patrick came on our podcast last year and defended Fran. And I don't want to hear about it this year. Nobody's been able to say it. No February Fran fade. This season put the end to the stupid Fran fade discussion. And it made me so happy.
I don't know. I don't think the Fran fade. I don't think it's going
to. No Fran fade. There's none. It's extinct. Look, boom. You won't see it again.
You have to win.
We get hot in February. That's how the Hawkeyes roll. We get hot.
Who gives a fuck about February when it's about March? Who the fuck cares? March,
we're going to steamroll. No cooling off.
Sam, has Fran ever won more than two games in March?
This year?
Like, he's going to March this year. Madness. This My year. Point being, the fade, baby. I think the whole idea of the Fran fade will still be there until he makes, like, a Sweet 16 run. Something that actually gets people to believe Iowa's there, because they just haven't ever.
And Tom Izzo brought up our guard play, and it was something I didn't even notice, actually, to be honest, when Toussaint's been coming off the bench and Jabo's been starting again, where if you remember this summer when Jabo announced he was coming back, he kept saying it's Toussaint's team. Pat was going on his podcast saying Jabo was great about saying it's Toussaint, it's your time, I'm doing my role, whatever. Jabo's back in that starting spot. But if you look at that guard play with Toussaint, Euless, Perkins, those guys kind of all rotating through, we have depth there now. We're like, if Jabo's not playing well, we can put Toussaint in as the energizer bunny, get a steal, get a quick defensive play, get a quick bucket. You know, we can have Perkins in there. We can have Euless score the ball a little bit, have another bigger body at point guard there if Toussaint's not playing good defense. I mean, it's just so balanced there now. Our biggest issue is just rebounding. That's the biggest issue. But you look at, like, to me, I'll be honest, like, we lost Wieskamp, we lost CJ, we lost Nungy, we obviously lost Luka last year. But what I was looking forward to most about this team that is showing to me right now is we're athletic as hell and we're playing the way Fran likes to play ball. And I honestly think out of our 4 years here, this is the best team we have where we can make a run. Like, Keegan, I'm talking to guys who work in the NBA and stuff, like, they're like, he's a legit dude. Like, he's going to be a legit top 10 pick. He's athletic. He can score the ball. He can play defense. Luka, you had to feed him in the post. Like, he could shoot the three ball, but we were so reliant on feeding the post, spreading the floor. With this team, we can spread the floor as much as we want, space it out, whatever. We have so much more flexibility that I just think we're a team more built for March right now.
Oh, no, I think that they're more of a matchup nightmare, definitely, because they had to continually, like you just said, work through Luka. Like, you just had to. If you didn't,
he would work, and he put in the work. The problem is, if people weren't getting hot on the perimeter, we were done. We couldn't play defense, so people would outscore us. Now, it's the rebounding that we still need to work on, because Rebrach is undersized. He gets a good bucket. He makes a good block here and there, but it's just that we don't have that Luka size. And the issue, too, is we have that size in Josh, but the problem is he's just not there yet. He's still a developmental project, you know?
Yeah, no, I think looking forward, obviously, Big Ten tournament, who knows what happens, matchups and all of that. I don't know, I'm not going to sit here and try and forecast it, but what I will try and forecast, I do think that they'll end up like a 9 seed, 8 or 9.
I said 7 all year. I think they're going to be 7 or 8.
I think they'll slip right in an 8 or 9, because I don't know if who they've played will actually be able to like weigh up against other teams. Maybe, who knows? Like, you still got a couple more games left for teams to become quad one wins. That entire idea of quad one and the whole net rankings. It's so dumb because it's just, I understand the idea of it, but it just makes it kind of a little more complex in my eyes to where you can leave like ambiguity to where a certain team doesn't make it, but it's like, oh, but the net rankings said, it's like, fuck your net rankings.
Yeah, I know.
What about my eyeballs? My eyeballs said this team's better. Like Seton Hall should be in there instead of like Texas Southern just because of name in my eyes for March Madness. No way. So if the net rankings say that, screw it. But yeah, what I said, 9 seed, 8 seed.
So my top three things of the biggest things to watch with this squad going into March is, can J-Bo have discipline? Where the problem with J-Bo has been, he makes 1-3. He thinks he might be getting hot, so he chucks up 2 more in a row. They don't go in. And then it's like, okay, put up 11, but he shot 6 threes. We couldn't rebound those threes, so we turned the ball over. Next is, what does Peyton Sanford become in this March run? Because there are glimpses like, okay, he's been developing. He's less athletic as Wieskamp was at this time. Wieskamp was just more athletic. But he reminds me of a Wieskamp type of body there who can score a bucket, make a stop, whatever. He has that length and size, and he's from Milwaukee as well. So, I mean, why not make a Wheezy comparison?
Right.
But third is, how do we rebound the ball? Where do we find the solution there? Are we just going to be so efficient on offense that rebounds don't matter? Or are we just going to have 2 or 3 guys as workhorses getting those rebounds?
Yeah, the workhorse is going to be named Connor McCaffrey. They're just going to plant his ass inside and just let him throw elbows. Yeah, we'll just let him throw elbows and get rebounds.
And I'm very interested to see how Chris emerges in this run. Because the way I look at Chris, dude, is we have a clone of Keegan. He's just not as developed as Keegan. He doesn't have as much he hasn't developed as much muscle. He just doesn't. You know, he's not as developed, but I kind of wonder, like, what's Chris going to look like next year? Like, does he have the motor of Keegan where he's going to put in the work over the summer? What does that look like? Because he has the length and size, and he can score the ball. We've seen him put up 20-point games numerous times this year. So it's just, for me, we have a lot of question marks, but if those question marks result in positive things as we continue to play, I think we're going to be Sweet 16 type of team. I think Fran's going to get over that hump here.
Yeah, no, it was just like a month and a half or 2 months ago that I think I told someone, I don't know if we'll even make it to the NIT. So I'm optimistic right now.
I mean, we're going to be a 20, like, you know, 21 teams in the Big Ten shouldn't be that big of a deal. But if you look at this big, you know, it's been a very weak year in college basketball. But if you look at the Big Ten, it's been the only really competitive conference. Because everyone's kind of in a similar spot on the upper end of the conference right now, where they have a few good players and then everything else kind of slips, where they just aren't being consistent teams. So for me, I'm really interested to see how this Big Ten tournament plays out. And I think the Big Ten is going to have the most amount of teams in the tournament this year, in the NCAA tournament.
It don't surprise
over
me.
The ACC. But I'm excited. I'm just so excited for March, and we have some fun content we're planning for March, and I'm excited to show you guys in air. But quickly talking on the Luka jersey retirement, I'm going to admit, I was expecting it to be a fun night. I was like, I have to be there because there will never be a time in college, obviously, where you get to have a moment like that again. But I got emotional as it was going on. I'm going to admit, I almost thought I was going to cry. I have to publicly admit it. Because as this was happening, I have been here watching Luka's game all 4 years. And on top of that, like, he's developed as I've gotten to watch this Hawkeye team grow and brought back a lot of memories. It was good to see. We'll see how he develops into an NBA player, but it was a hell of an experience. It really was.
You sound like his dad. Jeez.
I'll take after Frank. Honestly, I thought Frank was going to make it the Frank show, and he didn't. I was really proud of him.
Yeah, I'm surprised Frank didn't come to the podcast. Was he there or not?
No, his girlfriend was there, but I don't think Frank was. I think Frank knew that it would just be too crazy. You know, people would flood in from Liner, from Cortado, and from Molly's Cupcakes all to see Frank, you know?
I would. Frank is the talk of the town whenever he's out at the bar. So if Frank hears this.
And Jack, when should we all check you out on Stool Scenes? When's that going to air view?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't even know if we'll get in there. I tried to start a chant for Rico's name, his legal name, and no one would do it. I got the nastiest looks from all these guys in the crowd. I was like, guys, what if we did it for the brand? And they're like, well, that's different. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. And they're like, we might whip a noon at me. I'm like, dude, just do it. And they're like, no. I was so embarrassed that they actually wouldn't chant his name. You would have thought that they would.
But also, Dave Portnoy doesn't own for the brand, so please don't use those words when you're putting it together with Barstool content.
Oh, sorry. I'll try to not use it in a sentence anymore.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That would be greatly appreciated.
I'm a company man, so I like to try and promote it.
Yeah, but you know that Luka retirement. Like, okay, so I have a good debate question for you, which is, does J-Bo get his number retired?
Next question.
But does he deserve it?
Dumb. Yeah, stupid. Dumb question. Come on. Really? You really think they wouldn't retire his number?
They have to because of the inflated stats, but he shouldn't have, you know. He did in 6 years. He broke Aaron White's record in 6 years.
Dog. He has so many stupid records. It would be a disservice not to. I know.
Does Wheezy get his number retired?
No.
Yeah, I agree. What about so if Keegan leads us to the Sweet 16 run, does he get it?
No.
I think he does if he leads us to the Sweet 16.
No, I don't.
You don't think so? I think only if we go on a crazy Iowa run, he gets it.
Is Aaron White retired?
No.
Okay, well then Keegan Murray won't be.
We'll see. Because also, I think it depends on his NBA career. I think if he becomes.
I think so. God, no. I don't think either Murray will.
Think about what they did for Luka. Imagine if Keegan Murray becomes an NBA star. They want those ticket sales if they're.
Okay.
He can come back. They retire his number, I think.
Shit. If that's the criteria we're making, we're going to run out of numbers soon.
I was going to make another reference, but I shouldn't do it. I was going to make a Kareem reference, but Kareem, you know.
Okay.
But going on to other basketball stuff, it was All-Star Weekend.
And it actually fucking sucked. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you. I think it sucked.
The dunk contest was horrific. I thought Jack was about to walk out of the building.
This is my opinion on it, man. I'm the epitome of a casual basketball fan. So I should enjoy that. I should
every casual basketball fan tunes in for All-Star Weekend.
I thought the three-point contest was the best part. And that was because Karl Anthony Towns won it, and he was lights out.
Yeah.
The dunk contest was a disgusting disservice to what it's ever been.
It was terrible.
And there was a good take that Hank made on part of my take today. It was like, did LeBron end up hurting the slam dunk contest? Because he did like commit to it, but it was like all these players are just like, oh, I'm too cool. Like, we had bums in the dunk contest and they were bad.
Well, I saw a thing the other day where it was like, what if Zion, LeBron, it was like a bunch of the great guys who have never done it. Some people that have like mixed Zion, LeBron, Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine, all into the dunk contest. Well, and Ja Morant, what would that look like? How incredible would that be?
And Michael Beasley.
That just ruined it.
Yeah, no, I don't. The other thing that
And Obi Toppin. They're saying throw Obi Toppin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the only reason he got drafted to the NBA. But at some point, how many more dunks can there be done? You know,
right.
Like, there's only so many.
The lack of creativity now.
Well, I know, but it's just I don't even know what I would even think of for like a new dunk. You'd have to jump over something, or I don't know.
Said it was over after Blake Griffin dunked over the car, and I'm like, that's honestly kind of fair. I mean, the Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon contests were great because they really fought it out, but other than that, there's nothing.
That Blake Griffin. He did kind of raise the bar above everyone else. Like Dwight Howard jumped over.
Superman.
No, Nate Robinson jumped over Dwight Howard.
Yeah,
I remember talking about that when I got on the school bus the next day. That was insane. We don't see that anymore. We had Anfernee Simons, Jalen Green, Obi Toppin, and Juan Toscano.
Yeah.
That Juan Toscano. That's an all-star lineup of dunkers. Stellar. Are you shitting me? It was terrible. They screwed it up.
I legit think the NBA had to do 25 phone calls before they finally figured out who would be in it.
Yeah, I wonder who honestly like says no, I won't do it. That's really good.
Ja Morant,
LeBron,
yeah,
Giannis.
Which I honestly thought if there was a time for LeBron to do it, it would be this year.
Dude, yeah, or like freaking Giannis. I feel like Giannis would be really cool to watch. Like, yeah. I could jump. Oh, people
have thrown Giannis in there too. Yeah,
like that would be insane.
Imagine if they did just Giannis and his brothers in the dunk contest, like backyard style, and then they did the Currys in 3-point contest, like just them.
And you get the Harrison twins back from Kentucky, and you put them on the court too.
Yeah. I mean, they are in the G League, so.
Aaron's a Windy City Bull. They brought up a couple G League guys for the Rising Stars game, I think it was. I didn't get it. I was like, why are these guys here? Who are they? I actually didn't recognize a single one of their names.
G who?
Yeah, no, it wasn't beyond my pay grade. No idea who they were. But speaking of NBA, Bulls, we're recording this on February 24th, Thursday. Bulls come back tonight against the Hawks.
Yes, sir. And Tristan Thompson is now a Bull.
That is one of the best moves that's like just under the radar good.
No more Tony Bradley worries.
I don't watch a lot of basketball, but I watched
Zoe and Caruso come back.
I watched one game and knew Tony Bradley was the thing holding this team back. Yeah. Now it's over.
And when Zoe and Caruso come back, woo.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Dogs. And the thing too is DeMar.
Do you think they finish top two in the East? Think they finish top two?
I think it's top three.
I feel like they'll be 3-2.
I think it's gonna be super close. I think it's gonna be like one or two games back.
Well, and now New York City's ending the whole like COVID mandate, and so Kyrie's gonna be able to play in home games, which exponentially helps.
I honestly think the Ben Simmons acquisition was better for the Nets than Harden because Simmons plays post, like he can't shoot threes. So you don't have him jacking up shots anymore. So now it's just KD and Kyrie. Now you get to spread the floor.
Right.
And he's a hell of a passer. So he's going to be able to feed those guys.
I mean, if you have two guys down low and Ben Simmons and Blake Griffin for a modern NBA, that's relatively okay.
Right.
You're not getting bossed around, but.
And they just added Goran Dragic and they have Patty Mills and they have Seth Curry.
Do they have DeAndre Jordan or Drummond?
They have Drummond, who's a mad rebounder. Like he gets 17 rebounds. You know, every other game, he's a beast.
So when you have Kyrie, Joe Harris, KD.
Harris is hurt, I think.
I don't care. Joe Harris in the playoffs. KD. Who did we just say?
Seth Curry.
No, not Seth Curry. Ben Simmons and Andre Drummond, and you have to go pound against like Giannis. I could see the Nets taking it. Like that's a gritty ass team.
I could also see them be like, ah, we'll take the 2 seed and just kill everybody.
Yeah, definitely. But they're way grittier than what they were before.
And Ben Simmons is getting coached up now by Kyle Korver because Kyle Korver is a player development coach for the Nets. So you basically have Kyle Korver on your team too.
All right, let's make this a clip.
And you have Steve Nash.
Over under, how many threes does Ben Simmons make by the end of this year?
25.
You have
the under. I have the under. 25.
Wow. Yeah, easily under. I would put it at like 12 and a half then.
I'll take the over on 12 and a half. I'd take 13.
Okay. I like that. Let's put it at 12 and a half. Because you saying him working with Kyle Korver and he's like kind of out of this whole
my whole thing is I could see Simmons going off in the playoffs and bring up the three. Like, if he improves,
fuck yeah,
be like, yeah, I still can't shoot in regular season because I don't need to shoot it. And then he just steps back game three or game four when they're trying to win the series, boom, you know, everybody's like, holy shit.
No, it was that whole trade was insane to watch go down. And I'm curious to see how Ben Simmons actually like plays, because he hasn't played basketball once this year. So I just want to see how he plays.
Since his free throws,
or since when he didn't dunk the ball in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's trying to lay it up.
Oh my god! Oh my god! So bad.
But the other thing though is, I was talking about the Bulls. I was super impressed that the Bulls stuck to their guns and kept that core together. And they were like, we're not making a major switch. We're not trying to get Miles Turner. We're not trying to do anything crazy. We got this core for a reason. We're going to let them play it out. If we need to modify it in the offseason, we'll do it. Zach LaVine's a free agent. We'll go from there. But we're riding this thing out. And I love it. Ride with it. And what I love too is us playing so well right now is killing the Lakers and LeBron. LeBron's looking at DeMar and he's like, Lakers should have got him. We should have got him. We should have kept Caruso. Maybe I should have kept Zoe.
Look, I'll continue to double down on saying I told you so about this Laker team, man. I'll tell you till I die. This team was destined to fail. These old Bucks.
And guess what I found out today? LeBron doesn't have a no trade clause in his contract. And so people are saying
he's going to Cleveland and they're going to take Bronny in the first round.
Yep. So I wonder if he goes back to Cleveland, but I also wonder if the cap. No, but here's the thing. I've kind of wondered if that team, because I don't know if you heard the clip that the GM of the Cat or president of ops made about from the Cavs, what he said recently, but he was kind of like, we had to start from scratch. LeBron kind of left us in this no man's land. Do they ride with their young core? Two of them being all stars, one of them's hurt right now. Do they ride with the young core? And they got Caris LeVert now. Ride with the young core.
I wouldn't bring LeBron.
We're not bringing you back. I wouldn't bring him back either, because then he's going to be like, oh, this guy's not good with me. Ship him out. And then they're going to be dismantled again. So my whole thing is, if he didn't want to change anything, bring LeBron in. Go for it. That would be fun for the NBA. But if he's trying to dismantle it a little bit,
no.
Keep him out. Let Cleveland try to win a title without him. And then LeBron's like, no more rings for me.
Yeah, no,
Jeannie Buss isn't going to let LeBron push her around anymore, Alan. I think she's holding her ground.
And
like, think about it. She kicked her brother out of the Lakers. She could kick LeBron out of the Lakers. He's not a Laker lifer, you know? It's not like it's a Kobe situation or a Magic where it's like, we want you to be a Laker for life. They were using each other. Yeah. He was using them to get to LA, maybe win a championship if he got lucky. And the thing, too, is my take lately – has been the Lakers lost on the LeBron deal, because think about it. First year he gets there, they don't make the playoffs and they're paying him, you know, this large sum of money. Second year, they make the playoffs, they lose. They lose. Then third year, they win the championship. Or second year, they win the championship in the bubble. That's what happened. They won the championship, but they didn't get any home revenue from the playoff run. Like, it was all bubbles, so it basically made them no money. Like, they got jersey sales, but who cares about that? Third year, they lose in the playoffs to the Suns in the first round, so they didn't even get to go on a deep playoff run. So how and now they might not even make the playoffs. So what did bring LeBron do for you? You won a bubble title. Great. I just don't think the Lakers almost made this huge investment in LeBron, and they didn't even get a deep championship. Crypto.com arena, packed house, you know, in for this. And AD isn't a star player in the sense of an alpha dog guy. He can't run a franchise. So I think Russell Westbrook is more tradable than AD right now, because AD keeps getting hurt in the offseason. Russ is on an expiring contract, so a team can say, we'll take it on for a year. They can trade him at the deadline if a team's trying to make a run or they want Russ. Get that off the books. He's a free agent. At least Russ puts the work in the gym. AD's always hurt.
Wow.
That's my take.
That's a phenomenal take, Sam. I love that. Because I was watching ESPN not a couple weeks ago, and they had a little like montage of all the times Anthony Davis has been hurt as a Laker. The guy... I am now coming to the theory that he is weighing too much. He weighs too much. His body just cannot handle all of the mass he has. Yep. And it's like legit breaking. The guy needs to lose a little weight and go back to like Pelicans, Anthony, like a little skinnier, because dude, he's big now. He's built, but he needs to like skinny down a little. And that's like insane to say.
And speaking of AD too, I mean, speaking of weight and Pelicans, is Zion ever going to play again? Is he going to play as a Pelican?
He could get the max soon.
He's played 85 games in the last 3 years. So he's played a little over a season of regular season basketball. And he was an all-star, but he's played a little over that. Does he ever suit up again? Does he ever really, like, he's practicing away from the team. He's literally training at the Nike headquarters. So that's where he's rehabbing. And JJ Redick said recently, not the best teammate. What goes down for Zion?
No, it's
my question is
bad news.
Who
Bears
won the trade? Who won the trade? Pelicans, Lakers.
Honestly, it's got to be the Pelicans.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
But even still, there's been so much turnover there to where like they just haven't figured it out, and that's been.
I mean, they got Ingram. They got Ingram.
Yeah, they got Ingram, which is good, and they got Zion, which presumably and they got
CJ from Josh Hart.
Which is well good, but CJ's the best player they've had in there, period. Like, player-wise, I think he's better than Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday was, like, the face. Before that, it was Boogie. And Boogie, obviously, was that dude towards Achilles. But they just can't seem to hold on to a star player or somebody that, like, they can rally around ever. Like, ever. I don't know if CJ McCollum's the answer, man, but it's getting close to the point where it feels like the Pelicans are just kind of cursed. It just feels like nothing can go their way. I remember the video of when Zion was – or, yeah, that lottery happened, and all the people in their, like, front office were watching, like, sales and someone in the merchandise store, and they saw that they got Zion, and they freaked the fuck out. And now the guy's just not even playing, not even training in his own facility. It's insane to say. You thought that he would be the savior for the Pelicans, who quite like they've never been able to keep a player home ever.
Yeah, it sucks. And before we wrap up, we're recording this Thursday, February 24th. Just talking about team drama. I have to switch sports to the NFL real quick. Does Rodgers stay a Packer?
I was going to bring that up. That was yeah.
What
so
goes down.
I honestly, they're bringing back his old quarterback coach, which is very good for the front office. That's very good for them. They're doing what like Aaron wants them to do.
Yeah, they're doing what he wanted them to do 3 years ago.
I agree. But I also think he's coming to the realization he has a really good team.
Yeah.
He's always had a good team. Okay. Is the grass really greener on the other side? And if it is, where? Because if you go to Denver, you have to play in the hardest division in football, and you have to beat Mahomes
three times, yeah.
And Herbert,
not even to mention, right? And it's like you have so many names to compete with. If you put them down south with Miami, you got to play against Belichick twice a year. Yeah. You got to go against Josh Allen.
Yeah,
that's not easy either. You know. I don't know any other teams off time.
If you go to Pittsburgh, you're going up against Burrow and those young guys.
And you're going still,
up against Lamar.
You're still in the cold. You still don't have a great offensive line. And the team is
ridiculous. They're going to tear that team down, basically. Godwin's going to go somewhere else in free agency, you know.
So at the end of the day, Colts?
So that's where I've been like, that would be super intriguing.
But
like,
there's so many steps and chess pieces that have to move in order for the Colts to make that move again. Are they willing to
eat? Packers are in a shitty cap situation where it's like, could they even eat Wentz's salary, or do they have to trade Wentz for scraps? Like, you know, trade him for, or cut him, or you trade him for a 6-round pick.
Yeah.
Whatever,
and who knows?
Takes that cap hit. And then Green Bay has to be like, okay, what you have for us? And they already trade a 1st-round pick to the Eagles.
I think that's the problem. Yeah, they traded for Carson. They traded two because he played more than 75%, and that's the problem. Do they cut him? Because if they cut him, it now becomes the worst transaction, worst trade in nearly ever. Yeah. Not nearly ever, but like it's fucking horrible in the grand scheme hindsight. You really can't cut him. So you have to trade him. But where do you trade him? Pennies on the dollar. Green Bay can't take his contract. So end of the day, it looks like it's really hard for Aaron Rodgers to get what he might have wanted. And I think he might realize that that grass ain't greener. Yeah, he's had like Hackett and
San Francisco, though.
No, see, I think it,
I don't the think only trade him there.
Only quarterback that comes back. And... Only quarterback that comes back for San Francisco is big boy Brady. Exactly. Yeah. So, look.
Which that would be magical, to be honest.
That
like,
would.
He goes to the team that he's always wanted to play for. He's like, fuck it. This is my one last. This is my last dance. This is my last dance. Whatever happens, this is my last dance. He has Kittle, like those type of guys. That'd be crazy. Imagine if Gronk went there too with Kittle.
Well, speaking of Gronk, I was going to say before we really, really wrap, he said he wants to play with Joe Burrow.
I know. Which,
yeah, give me that.
The thing is, that's so tough for me is like Gronk's always been like Brady's my one dude. And I'm like, it kind of would have been cool if he just makes Brady his one QB, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. That's like Marvin Harrison or Reggie Wayne. Yeah. I think Reggie Wayne ever left,
Reggie Wayne had other quarterbacks. He stayed with the Colts, but Marvin, yeah.
Marvin, definitely Marvin. Yeah, that's a good point. What do you think happens to Devontae Adams then? Because he's the most wanted free agent right now.
I'm doing some research on this.
Ooh.
Basically, like the situation for the Packers is if Rodgers leaves, they could still franchise him.
It'd be
stupid to do.
But well, like not necessarily.
When you have the top receiver, it's like, why would you want, you know, because also, too, you could trade him after that. Like,
that's what I mean.
Why would you want to do that? So I think what happens is they won't let him walk or go with Rodgers wherever. I don't think like what Rodgers has kind of put up before. I think what happens is either he stays and they franchise him or they franchise him anyway and they trade him.
Yeah, no, and speaking of franchising, I wouldn't be against the Bears franchising A-Rob and trading him. Give a hell.
Me too.
Trade him. It'd be like 17 mil, I think. He wants near 20. Dude, just give him another franchise year. Like,
I know. And did you see Ryan Pace is now a Falcon?
Yeah, some senior assistant or some bullshit.
I'm like, good. He can eat it in Georgia.
Whatever, man. Yeah, have fun, Ryan. I wish you luck, sort of. I don't know.
We got Poles. And did you see that Poles almost was an assistant GM with the Giants? They like really wanted him.
Oh, like, damn. They want him to be an assistant. Giants
wanted him to be an assistant GM. And they loved him. But the Bears, you know, they picked him up. They finally, hopefully, made a good call at GM. It's only taken them like 3 or 4 tries in the last 20 years. But
I think the first pick for the draft will be a big indication of.
Yeah, but we don't have a first rounder, right?
No.
Yeah, so second rounder.
Correct. Our first pick of
the
draft.
Maybe we trade up. Maybe we trade up. Maybe we trade up for a first rounder.
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe.
That won't happen. They can't. They need a trade back. And I think this draft, you'll see some trading back from Poles. I think he will gather picks for this year and next year. This draft doesn't sell me as one that you can get game-changing Pro Bowlers. You can get starters.
Thank God
you can get
we made the players. Move for Fields. Thank God we made that Fields.
Yeah.
Because late, like this QB talent right now, just until 2-3 years, it's not looking pretty.
If you had to pick a quarterback from this class, who would you take?
I take Pickett.
I take Willis. And I'm not sold on either of those.
I'm not sold on either of them, too. But my argument with Pickett is I think he could be a 33, 34 ranked quarterback in the NFL. He could be like a Tyrod Taylor.
Player, dog, you're taking him first round?
Well, I'm saying out of the quarterbacks, I don't think any of them could really deliver as a franchise guy. I'm saying
I think Malik can.
I look at Malik as a developmental project that could end up completely exploding in being a franchise guy or being like complete boss. I don't think.
Definitely. There's no in between, but he's an interesting
guy.
I had a buddy that played for Eastern Michigan, and they played was it Liberty in the bowl game.
Yeah,
and he said
Freeze.
Malik was legit the greatest football player he'd ever seen.
Yeah.
In his entire life, the guy had like 450 total yards, 5 TDs.
It's also the Liberty effect, but
yeah, I mean, sure, but Malik, I mean, he's gonna run a 4.3.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, I think he's a guy who
has a quarterback.
Some of the exciting tools, but can he put them all together? Like,
playing
mid D1 to go in the NFL at that position. Obviously, quarterbacks have done it before, like Roethlisberger, Romo, Jimmy G.
But a quarterback, you know where like you know where I think he goes?
Saints.
Steelers. The Lions.
Oh. That's a good call.
So I think that's going to be scary.
What happens with Goff? He starts there for another year and then they trade him?
Yup. Oh, yeah.
That's Goff to Miami.
That's Goff a great plan for the Lions.
Just Goff to Miami. Goff to Miami.
Why? I don't get that. Okay.
They trade Tua. They trade Tua. Goff to Miami.
Good hunch. The good hunch. Well, apologize to everybody for the delay for the episode. We have lives as well that have just fucked us. And Jackson, and
big Barstool guy, so you know, he just had
not even not even to mention, not even to mention, there's a war going on right now. Sorry, but either way, we'll be back.
Traveling to Ukraine right now.
None of that. But no, if you do, tell Vladdy I say hi. Like always, not the same time, same place. We'll see you guys later.